Hello again. My name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs, and we're talking to a lot of entrepreneurs today. It's been a busy show, and we have some more to talk to. Our next guests are Michael Murphy and Steve McCarthy from NEF. Do we call it NEF or NEF?
NEF. Yeah, NEF.
So we'll start with Michael. What's the business all about?
Well, we started. Thanks for having us here. We really appreciate it. We started about 12 years ago, 2004, just after the telecommunications dot-com bubble burst.
Right.
And at the time, there was a lot of construction, network construction, things that they built over that period of time that were kind of in disarray. A lot of bankruptcy, a lot of uncertainty in the market. And we went out as probably the nation's first dark fiber provider, so unutilized fiber assets, and we brought those to market. Over the last 12 years, we've become more of a consulting shop as well as a software as a service provider. We have a database of assets, which Steve will talk to us a lot about, but it's been an interesting time in the market, and so that's kind of how we got here.
Well, tell us what you're delivering today.
So what we're delivering today is one of three things. Either we're delivering software as a service, which is a database of fiber optic carriers, data center locations, key telecommunications, interconnection points as a software platform. So people can log on to it and see a whole bunch of information that's not readily available. It helps them find pieces of network to be able to deliver bandwidth to their locations. We also have a consulting arm. So if folks come to us and they really need a roadmap, they're not sure as needs have changed over the last 5 years in terms of how you deliver content, we help them do that. And the last piece is procurement. So we'll go out very much like an insurance agent. We'll look at all the available providers. We'll look at the solutions. And from there, help the customer make a informed decision for buying.
So let's roll the clock back. How did you guys meet each other and in what context and what were you doing?
So Mike and I have both been in the telecommunications industry for 25 years. We met at a small residential cable operator, worked together for a number of years, and then about the 2003-2004 timeframe came back together to start NEF. Originally, the name was New England Fiber, when our business was really based here in New England and just the area of focus was New England, and then we changed the name to NEF, shortened the name to NEF when we started doing things more nationwide.
So you were working together, you weren't friends together.
We were working together, correct.
How do you divide up your roles today?
Well, it sort of became a natural division. When we started the company, it was just the two of us, so we both did a little bit of everything. As I think the company started to grow a little bit, we sort of followed some natural progressions. I handle more of the day-to-day business of running NEF and part of the product development for Fiber Locator, and Mike handles more of the sales and marketing.
Interesting. So is it a very competitive business?
It is. You know, I think we're in a unique niche based on the, you know, our customers tend to be large enterprises, telecommunications carriers, and we have a specialized skill set because we've got a specialized set of tools that we created. So we don't have a lot of competition from providers of similar services. I think most of the competition we have is the customers themselves. A lot will self-perform and feel like they have the necessary tools and expertise to do the job. So really what we look at is a more holistic viewpoint of it.
So does that mean that your business is less price sensitive than some of them?
In some cases, you know, it depends. We sell a range of products. Our software as a service product is one of the only products of its kind in the marketplace. So I think there's probably less price sensitivity there. Whereas some of the products that we sell on the brokerage side of our business, we are competing with other telecommunications providers, their direct sales force in some cases. So it really depends on the product set that we're selling.
How many people work for you?
20.
Nice mobile culture.
Yeah, it is for sure. So, I mean, we've got an office in Denver and one here in Newton. And then we've got some people that work in home offices in different areas.
How did you pick Denver other than legal drugs?
Yeah, right. Well,
that was really the main reason.
And now Massachusetts, so we can move the people from Denver to Massachusetts.
Now you don't have to go to Denver to go to a candy store.
That's correct.
So we actually had one of our contractors that worked for us for a number of years that was based in Denver, became an employee, started an office out there, and that's how we ended up with the Denver.
It's funny how those things happen more on a personal basis than a strategic business basis when it's small business.
Yeah, and it does help us now where we've got some coverage for the West Coast. Our business is nationwide.
Denver's more of a. It is sort of the. It's not on the West, but it's proximity
but it feels
to
like
the West
Coast.
It is. Its proximity is really to the West Coast. It's not far.
Yeah, short flight to the West Coast.
Not my favorite airport all the time when it's windy, though.
No.
Denver.
No, not at all.
I don't like wavering when I'm going in.
That's right.
Took me a while to get used to Logan when I moved here on those windy winter days.
That's right. Yeah.
The trade winds. Where's the industry going? I would assume there's a lot of technological volatility, and you have to stay on top of that.
There is. You know, and I think what we really see in the trends of late has been moving more and more of the content closer to the end user. So if you think about telecommunications and networks and the way they were built, many things were centralized and they were distributed from a central location.
Right.
Initially, when the internet was born, so to speak, there was an East Coast and a West Coast interconnection point, and that was it. And all traffic flowed through May East or May West, those two spots.
It was simple,
but there was a lot less traffic on the internet. So now if you think about 38% of traffic, global internet traffic, is Netflix. Right, so you think of streaming video.
Are you joking?
I'm not joking.
38% of internet traffic is Netflix.
Correct. Not just streaming video.
Let's just round it to 40, just for the...
Right.
Between friends.
Yeah. Not streaming video, just Netflix. And so if you think about sitting at your home, and if you're in, and most of that content was delivered from...
No wonder everybody else is getting into that category.
Correct. Right. And so...
With TV shows too, original programming, because they don't want Netflix to own that category.
Correct. So it's all about content.
It's a gold mine.
It's all about content. And so if you think about how the amount of traffic that needs to move to people that are in all different parts of the country, not just major cities. I mean, people are looking at Netflix in small cities, tier 3, tier 4 markets. You have to move a lot more content to places you normally didn't.
Does what I'm doing on my computer, does that count as internet streaming, or is it only when I'm watching videos?
Only when you're watching videos.
Only when you're watching videos.
And 40% of it, I'm still hung up
on
that.
So this program is, if you think about it, you're streaming video.
What about when I'm
watching
YouTube and I click something? Is that
correct? That's streaming video.
Mm-hmm. Right. I watched a really bad one yesterday.
And so the idea is that...
And we're streaming here.
We are. That's correct.
Right. That's what we do. We have a YouTube channel.
Correct.
But we're not. I wish we were doing 40%
of the total internet traffic. Yeah,
wow.
We do too.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll take 0.01%.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
add a couple of zeros in front of the 40, right? And
right.
You'll take that.
I'll take that definitely.
Absolutely. All day long.
Sure.
Right.
So part of what we do is we help redesign those networks. So the networks that were built 20 years ago were built for a purpose of moving a lot less data around and to different locations. And so today we look at it and say, okay, how do we leverage infrastructure that may be available today, add new infrastructure, interconnect things a little bit more efficiently so you can get more of your traffic to the end user? Think of the experience when you watch YouTube, right? And you click on YouTube. It used to be this feeling of when it would hang up and buffer, you would say, well, is that me or is that the website? And today, in the world of
my software partner would say, oh, that's Jeff. He just knows how to ruin technology.
That's right. Probably you break everything, right?
Yeah.
So the idea is that, when you do that today, more people have this instant gratification feeling. They're saying, well, it's something wrong with the system. Most of that buffering that you see is what's called latency. So it's the delay in getting information out to the end user. And so part of what we're doing is helping solve that problem.
That's great. Guys, if somebody wants to learn more about you at NEF or find you, how would they do that?
Website's probably easiest, right? Yeah.
www.anyfiber.com.
And who are your customers, if that was not made clear?
So everything from small businesses. I mean, we work with small businesses up to we have, I think now, 10 or 12 of the Fortune 50 companies that we do business with.
Because you're helping them stream, too, data.
It's a very horizontal.
I mean, I know when I was buying my car 18 months ago, I would type in the car and I would go to their websites and I would watch unbelievable videos of the cars I was looking to buy.
Right.
It was just, you know, it was just unbelievable how much research and live research
I could
see.
It's all right there, right on your desktop.
It was like test driving the car almost. Yeah. I could read articles, but I could almost test drive the car from every way.
So one of our clients, it's, you know, interesting how, to that point, is a home furnishing company. And so what they do is they sell...
In Denver?
No, they're not in Denver.
They're here
in Massachusetts, right? And so what they do is they ship out large products to customers. And so customers have a hard time visualizing what that piece of furniture is going to look like in their home. So they've come to us and say, hey, we've got to change our network because we've got to deliver a lot more active content to our end users. What they're going to allow end users to do is upload a picture of their room and then overlay the furniture in their room, so that they look at it and say, hey, that's exactly what it's going to look like in my living room.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Wild stuff.
We're going to talk offline.
That's the buying experience.
We're going to talk online. That's a closer in itself. You don't have to say anything else to the retailer.
Correct.
That's right.
Man, oh, man. You guys are exciting. I hope you come back again and talk to us again about what's up.
For sure.
We'd love to.
Love to.
My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I've been talking with Mike. I had to put my glasses back on. Michael Murphy, that was the guy to the left, and Steve McCarthy, the guy to the right, if you are watching, the yellow guy, and from NEF. And you know what? They've got some really good stories of fiber, you know, good fiber stories. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.